welcome to Souls on Fire with your host, Joe Trainer. Joe is a husband and father of three, and for 29 years was an award-winning and very successful college football coach. Today, he is the director of athletics for Pope John Paul II High School. He is a leader, a man of character, and filled with the joy of the Lord. Joe was running for God's heart and became a soul on fire. Listen in every Monday as Joe interviews other sports figures and businessmen and women who bring their faith into the marketplace. And now, here's Joe Trainer.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer. Got a special guest today, Clayton Carlin, lifetime college football coach, dear friend of mine, coming off of a national championship last weekend in Texas. We'll touch on that and his experience playing football in the spring, much like the old USFL days when the Philadelphia Stars were going at it. But before we begin our hour with Clayton, let us begin, as always, in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, almighty Father, as Clayton and I gather today in faith and fellowship for the next hour, we ask that our thoughts be your thoughts, that our words be your words, and when we leave here tonight, that our deeds be your deeds. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Clayton, you got me?
I'm here, Joe.
You're the best, brother. I appreciate you coming in from Texas. It's what, 4 o'clock your time, right?
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. Folks, we got a special hour here. Just feels like, the weather, I don't know why, but I feel like I'm just unusually upbeat. Hopefully not unusually, but more than usual upbeat. We had great weather this past weekend. I met Mass yesterday with my family, and there's no mask on. Today was at the 6:30 at St. Luke's. There was no mask. Had the ability to go to a couple restaurants this weekend, and just feels like we're returning to normalcy. No time like the present, too. So, ladies and gentlemen, I have Clayton Carlin with me here today, dear friend. For those for those that are consistent listeners here, I'm always talking about mentorship into adulthood and influence, your ability to bring people with you. And this is really exciting for me to have Clayton on, because when I think about spiritual mentors for me, he's at the very top of the list. This I say all the time, a mentor doesn't have to be significantly older than you, although sometimes based on their experiences comes their wisdom that they impart on you. But this is one of my contemporaries, same age. For the last 25 years, as long as I've known him, he has really been a disciple, a pipe-swinging disciple of Christ. And he's one of those guys that you just know he's a disciple, not because he's always talking about it, but because of the way he leads his life. And there's a peace that comes over this guy. And when you meet him, you're kind of drawn and attracted to that type of, inner satisfaction. And he'll be telling you, over the next hour, how much that has been a byproduct of his faith. But Clayton Carlin, born and raised in Philadelphia, son of Hall of Famer Leo Carlin, a longtime Eagles executive here in Philadelphia. One of 7 kids, so not exactly the nuclear family, but when we think, Christ put us on the earth to multiply, his family's definitely up there with that. He's a member of St. Matthias Parish in Bala Cynwyd. He's been married to Kathleen Clayton. How long have you been married?
22 glorious years.
20. It's dog years if I ask her, I'm sure, but it's 22 beautiful years. Father of 6. What's that breakdown, Clayton? Forgive me for that. Boys and girls.
Our two girls are our oldest, and then 4 boys.
Okay, so girl, and then 4 straight boys.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What a miracle that is. Graduate of St. Joe's Prep, I won't hold that against him. And he began, he's been a college football coach for the last 30 years, began his career as the head coach at St. Joe's Prep. How old were you when you got that job, Clayton?
Oh, gosh, too young. I was just a year out of college.
Yeah.
I was 23 years old.
That's awesome, but that's where it all started. Yeah. You're probably cursing Jim Murray to this day for getting you involved in this crazy profession, right?
Yeah. I didn't know what I didn't know back then, right?
Amen. But stops at Nebraska, New Mexico State, Villanova, Buffalo, Cornell, Bucknell, Coastal Carolina, and Sam Houston State, where he is right now, in Texas, just coming off of a national championship. So really, Clayton, let's talk about that for a second. Coming off of, you know, literally, when I say folks coming off a national championship, we're talking 2 weeks, you know, last weekend that this happened. So tell the audience a little bit about, you know, FCS football and kind of what transpired here, going back into the fall and the canceled season, and then picking up this spring and then taking it all the way to the national championship.
I sure will, Joe. First of all, I want to thank you, Joe. I'm honored to be on this show with you. I'm honored to be your friend, and I'm so grateful for your friendship and the impact you have had on me and many others as through your coaching career and now as the director of athletics at Pope John Paul II. And you continue to set the example, both as a friend and as a father and a husband. So I thank you for that.
I love you, buddy. You know that. Thank you. It's feelings mutual.
Yeah. So we go back over the past year, you know, you asked, you know, it was a roller coaster ride, obviously, for our whole country, right?
No doubt.
You know, in the world of athletics, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen in the fall. Our kids, our players reported back in June and worked like crazy in anticipating a fall season. And, you know, we got word, you know, I think it was early August, maybe mid-August, that the season was going to be postponed. And that was the key thing for us. It was going to be postponed, not canceled, and we were just moving it to the spring. And our players did a phenomenal job of showing great resiliency. They never flinched. They kept on working. And then all of a sudden, you know, so you're going to kick off in February. And that, you know, which sounds really crazy, but we were all so grateful to be able to still compete. And then we get hit with a little bit more adversity, Joe, and I'm not sure I ever went over this with you. So we're scheduled to play our first game. I think it was February 20th, and then we get hit with a major ice storm here in Texas.
Because that always happens in Texas, right?
Yeah. So you try to figure out the message of the Lord is sending, and so that game gets postponed, and meanwhile our players and everybody were without power and water for 4 or 5 6
days. Oh my
days.
Gosh, that's crazy.
So we attacked that, and then, you know, so the season postponed 1 week, so one more delay. And again, it was just a magical season in a lot of ways. Once you got going, and you know this, Joe, in the routine of the season, you didn't know whether it was February, March, April, or August, September, and you can appreciate it.
Sure.
Monday's a heavy game planning day. Tuesday, you're practicing, and so on and so on. And, you know, so a lot of postponements. Our kids attacked it great, and it was only fitting that the final game, the national championship game, that we were hit with another delay, about an hour, hour and a half, with a lightning delay during the game. So it was truly a magical run, and I'm so blessed to be a part of this great organization.
That's pretty cool. You know, we're right around that 30-year mark, 30, whatever it is, 31, 32, you've been coaching. But it's your third national championship, brother. I coached for 29 years and didn't win one, and there you are winning your third national championship. Obviously, you had two out at Nebraska, and we'll have a chance to talk about your relationship with Tom Osborne, the Hall of Fame coach there. But, man, what truly blessed, because guys do this for an entire career without even sniffing one, and there you are with three. That's pretty amazing. Let's talk about your Philly guy, Clayton. You know, dad's, you know, Hall of Famer with the Eagles, you know, as an executive, St. Joe's Prep. Talk about your family, being raised in Philadelphia, and kind of give our listeners a little bit of background about your personal, your family situation.
Sure. I was raised, born and raised in Bala Cynwyd, right there, right a suburb of Philadelphia, yep. right across the street from St. Matthias Church and School, and one of seven, and raised by two wonderful, spirit-filled, faith-filled parents. My mom and dad raised us the right way, Joe, and of all the millions of things they've done for me, probably the greatest thing they have ever done for me is grant upon me the gift of faith,
amen.
Raise me in the Catholic faith, and show me the way in terms of the power of prayer.
And, amen.
To this day, they're just such a heavy influence in my life, and I'm so grateful for how they raised me and my brothers and sisters in the Catholic faith. And blessed, and they're 83 years young, and they may even be listening. They live right there in Newtown Square. So blessed to have them raise us the right way, and one of seven, and lived in a great neighborhood. Oh, and, you know, lots of friends, great Catholic neighborhood, right, as I said, right across the street from St. Matthias School. Went there for 8 years, and then to St. Joe's Prep. And you know, there was just friends all over the place, and great role models up and down our street and in the neighborhood of Bala Cynwyd. And we're a very close family, my three brothers and three sisters, and still close to this day. And I'm heading back that way at the end of June, so I can't wait to spend time.
And usually vacation up here in at the Jersey Shore, right? Don't you bring your family
yeah.
up here for that?
Yeah.
Pretty good. That's awesome. Hey, you talk about gift of faith, Clayton. Let's talk about that for a second, if we could. It troubles me sometimes because I feel like the giftedness of the faith, like why some of us, I look at, you know, some of my siblings, and I've said this before on the radio, and some of us have just this unwavering connection to their relationship with Christ, even in the dark times. And then some of us kind of, you know, don't feel that, don't feel that connection. And I feel like, you know, for me and my family there, I'm one of seven too, and we're all at different ends of the spectrum, you know, as it pertains to our faith life. And, you know, I wonder, sometimes I feel guilty that I have this gift, you know, that was watered and nurtured and fed along the way. But like, I feel like I almost don't deserve it sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. And we're kind of the same way, Joe. You know, one of seven, as I said, and you know, my brothers and sisters are on different paths as well. So we have that similarity, and I hear you. Sometimes I feel the same way, undeserving. But you know, God, as we say, I always tell a lot of people, God is filled with mercy and grace, and God is undefeated. He doesn't make mistakes.
No doubt. And in due time, everyone will come to his glory. There's no question about that.
No doubt.
You've been blessed. You talked about your parents, and I've met your parents before, and you talked to them for 30 seconds, and then you realize it doesn't take you long to realize, you know, what special magnetic people they are, and to see their ability not just influence their own nuclear family, but the influence that both of them have had on countless people. Talk about some of your other spiritual influences, Clayton, in your life into adulthood.
Well, I've been, as I humbly say, Joe, I've been surrounded by greatness my whole life. And it's because of the people that have been around me, starting with my parents.
Sure.
That I've been able to be where I am today and be strong in my faith. But some other people, certainly my wife, Kathleen is, you know, she's the love of my life. And we'll get into that. I met her in Nebraska, but she is a mentor to me and my best friend, and she's so strong. And then my friends. Oh, and you have certainly been an influence in my life spiritually, and some of the great conversations we have had over the years. My older brother by a couple years, Leo, has been a strong influence in my life and is to this day. And then, as I said, our friends, and you know some of these guys, you know, certainly Rich Gannon is a
sure.
he's a strong, devout Catholic man, and he's been a mentor and a great friend, and Jim Knowles, who's also a college football coach. So I've been surrounded by greatness and love and faith-filled people my whole life.
That's awesome. Pretty cool, folks, for those of you that don't know. So Rich Gannon, you know, St. Joe's Prep Hall of Famer, NFL Super Bowl MVP, wasn't he, Clayton?
Yes, he was.
And then so Rich, Clayton, and Jim Knowles, who's the defensive coordinator at Oklahoma State, all three of these guys were, you know, best of friends at the prep in high school. And then, you know, all of them go on to spend their entire professional careers in football. So that's kind of pretty cool. And I know you guys usually come up here when you come up here for vacation, you spend 2 days on the golf course with those guys and beating the white ball around with your old coach, right?
Yeah, we do. As a matter of fact, we just set the date the other day, Joe. We're getting together on July 9th with Coach Brank, our high school football.
That's awesome, man. That's the power of sport right there, right?
It certainly is.
Pretty cool. I know, you know, you and I have talked personally. And the other thing I love about you too, Clayton, your indirect way, and I was thinking of you the other day in the Holy Day, you've always kind of made sure I get the that early morning phone call wishing me, you know, whether it's the Assumption or, you know, Feast of the Immaculate Conception, hey, happy feast day, make sure you get to Mass. I love that about you too, because you're not just worried about your own soul, but you're making sure the rest of us are following suit. But don't think I take that for granted, because I certainly don't. You know, I think the great thing about sport is the platform it gives us, right? I mean, you have the ability to be an influencer, and, you know, not just with the people you're coaching and working with, but like other people that are just by nature of human nature just attracted to sport in general. You know, talk about, you know, your ability to use your faith-filled life in a high-profile profession, and what is it about sport that allows us to bring people closer to Christ?
That's a great question, Joe, and that's one of the things that I felt called to coach many years ago, is being having this platform to, you know, to hopefully influence young men, and sports do that. And I think, and obviously we all love sports, but I think the game of football, just based on sheer numbers, you're talking about 100, give or take a few, young men from all different walks of life, from all over the country, and different religions, different races, and you're given this platform to make a difference. And I'm not, you know, I live out my faith as best I can through the power of God, and it's the old, you know, preach a sermon, use words only when necessary.
Yeah, right, no doubt.
So I just try to set the example, and I feel very blessed to have the platform of being a coach to impact the young men and impact other coaches.
Now, let me ask you something. You know, you're at Sam Houston's a state university, right?
Yes.
You've worked at major state universities, land grant institutions. Do you feel like, do you ever feel like you have to be in the closet with some of this stuff, Clayton? Because
I've never felt that way, Joe.
Good. That's awesome.
I just haven't. And I know some people have, but I personally have never had those feelings. I'm strong about my faith, and I'm not afraid to live it and talk about it when asked.
Well, you probably, I mean, you couldn't have had a better role model for that than Tom Osborne at Nebraska, right? I mean, there's a guy, you know, at the State University of Nebraska, the land-grant institution, having tremendous success on the field, but he was as much, you know, he was known as much for his you know, Christian faith and his ability to bring that to other people as he was his football prowess, right?
Oh, my goodness. You know, and even before Coach Osborne, and this is a guy you certainly know and respect. I was worked for a guy, Bill Manlove.
The best, yeah, Coach Manlove, all
of them. Delaware Valley College, and he was so strong in his faith. And, and was certainly more than willing to live it out. And then after 2 years there, I get to go to University of Nebraska through the grace of God and be around a guy like Tom Osborne. And so the first two college coaches I worked for, Joe, are both, you know, national championship coaches, and not only in terms of wins and losses, but national championship men and bold in their faith and in the College Football Hall of Fame. And those 3 years at the University of Nebraska impacted my life deeply. And just watching and listening to a guy like Tom Osborne talk about his faith and live out his faith and the influence he had on me and so many others. And then we were able to win two national championships there. And that was awesome. But and I say this, but the greatest thing that happened to me in my 3 years there, Joe, and you and I have talked about this, God puts the right people in front of you.
Amen.
At the right time, at the right place. And that's where I met my wife, Kathleen. And
that's, you know, awesome.
So we've been together ever since. And I have no doubt. How did a guy from Philadelphia end up at University of Nebraska? Only through the grace of God. And I met my wife there.
No such thing as a coincidence, right? That was God's divine plan for you.
No such thing as a coincidence. Not at all.
That's awesome. I know, you know, you've had an unbelievable career as a football coach. But I think one of the great things that, you know, certainly I'm attracted to, you know, in our friendship is it's such a small part of your identity. I mean, you know, the roles of father, son, husband, you know, those are the roles that really define you when I think of Clayton Carlin. How does your faith influence you in some of those roles, you know, as a father and a husband?
Yeah, well, I don't think I could be a good husband and a good father without my faith. And I think they're connected. I don't think I could function and be the best husband and father I can be if I didn't have my faith. And again, my dad set the example for me, you know, how to be a great husband and how to be a great father. And I've always said, if I'm half the parent that my mom and dad were to me and my brothers and sisters, we're doing okay. But I have to have that faith, Joe, and in order to function as a husband and a father. And I hope and pray that, you know, I am setting the example to my wife, Kathleen, and to our six children.
There's no question you are. And obviously, you know, you look at how many years have your parents been married, Clayton?
Oh, my goodness.
Trick question here, right?
Yeah, over 60, I think. Yeah,
I mean,
well,
that is so awesome, man, right? I mean, I hope they're listening. If they are, thanks for that amazing run, Mr. and Mrs. Carlin, yeah. And that influence is well beyond your immediate family, I can promise you that. I think I tell my own kids, I say, I mean this, and I say it to any young person who listens. I said, the only thing I wish for my kids, I don't care if they make $1 million, I don't care what they do professionally, really, you know, don't care where they live, but you know, you have to marry well. Like, and when I mean well, I don't mean like money or class. I'm talking just someone that is going to be an unbelievable partner for you in the journey, because if you don't get that right, it's, you know, nothing else really matters, you know. And kudos to you. You know, you're plus 20 years with Kathleen and your parents and,
yeah,
and all the Carlins, but that doesn't happen by default. You know, I mean, I want to, we're celebrating 25 this month, and we're renewing our vows just because I want my we're doing it on a weeknight in 2 weeks, but I want my kids to just kind of take note of, like, you know, it's not every day is not, you know, bubblegum and lollipops, but it's just the commitment,
right,
to one another. And that's, you know, you talked about it already, that's your legacy as a father and a husband. I mean, you got three national championship, and that's awesome and really cool to talk about over a beer. But at the end of the day, you know, your legacy, you know, when you leave this world, is going to be the man you are, the father you are, and then showing, you know, your own four sons, you know, what fatherhood looks like, and, you know, showing your daughters, what a devoted husband looks like, you know, and, you know, and showing all of them what a healthy marriage looks like, and you've already said that if Christ isn't at the center of it, man, I'm not saying it's impossible, but I couldn't imagine my life in my marriage and my fatherhood if God wasn't at the center of that, because I'd be I screw up at every turn, and if it wasn't for God, you know, preventing me from the big screw ups. I'd the whole thing would dissolve in front of me. I can promise you that.
No doubt. I agree with you. That's awesome that you got you and Marina out doing your vows.
Yeah, and it's a weeknight. I didn't want to make a big fanfare of it, but it's going to be like on a Wednesday. I think next Thursday we're doing it. Right at PJP. There's the small chapel there, and just kind of, just want to kind of just do it and be intimate with it, and just give them a chance. I say all that. It's my favorite. My anniversary, Clayton, is my favorite day of the year, because it's like, yeah, man, I have this very flawed character has made something, and I've been faithful in the journey, and it defines, everything about my life. And every day on that day, my wife thinks I'm funny, because I feel like a kid in a candy store on my anniversary, because it's yet another year where I just kind of, I stayed the course and I was faith-filled in my marriage. And that's, that means the world to me, because I'm weak and I'm sinful and I'm capable of sin at every turn. But as far as my marriage is concerned, I've been able to stay the course, and
that's awesome that you feel that way, Joe. That's tremendous. And you mentioned about not having faith or God as our anchor at the center of our life. I agree with you. I can't imagine. And I always worry about people, and I pray for people that don't have it, because I don't know what you hang your hat on.
No doubt. I mean, look at addiction. Right?
We all hate adversity, right? We're all
absolutely.
And if it hasn't happened, if adversity hasn't hit yet, it's coming. And the power of prayer and having a faith-filled life and having God as my center and my family center, I wouldn't be able to make it through some of the challenging times that we've been faced with.
No doubt. And I look at addiction, right? I mean, I look at, we all know people that have addictions to, whether it's drug addiction, alcohol, pornography, whatever. And if you think you're going to be able to overcome any of that on your own, you're kidding yourself. The first thing you have to do in a relationship with Christ is what? Surrender, right? Hey, I'm not capable of any of this stuff. I'm going to screw up at every turn, and I need you to be at the center. And when I look at, some of my friends and family that are struggling with addiction, sometimes they don't want to hear it, but it really comes down to, is Christ, is God at the center of your life? And if he is, you have a shot. If he's not, it's going to be a long road,
Yeah, no doubt. And I love that word, surrender. And that's not a word you use in athletics, right?
No. But it's alpha male, right? You don't surrender to anybody, right?
Don't you dare surrender. But I love that word. You have to surrender. You have to turn it over to God. And because he has it all planned out for us.
Absolutely.
He has it all mapped out. But you have to be strong enough to surrender, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's
it's total strength. It's a paradox, right? Because it's like, you think like it's in your strength that you're surrendering to the higher power of Christ. So, pretty awesome. Listen, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back with Clayton Carlin, national champion defensive coordinator with Sam Houston State. Three-time national champion. So we'll be back after these brief messages.
Hello, this is Colleen Donahoe from the Archdiocese of Boston, and I wanted to share my profound gratitude to Almighty God for the gift of In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. and in particular, Kathleen McCarthy. I have always been a firm believer that God places people in our lives for specific reasons. A number of years ago, a dear mutual friend introduced me to Kathleen's weekly radio broadcasts. Each week, I am tremendously inspired by her holy boldness and her willingness to use her own life, as Kathleen so often says, as God's show and tell. When I finally met Kathleen in person on my first Ad Lumina Christi retreat, I knew I had encountered a beautiful sister in Christ, a lifelong friend, and one of the most powerful prayer warriors I had ever met. Despite suffering many hardships in her life, Kathleen has laid down her life in service to God and His church. So I encourage you to be inspired by the magnificent ways in which Kathleen uses the gifts God has given to her to remind each of us that we are loved beyond measure by our Heavenly Father.
We thank God for our one, holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church, where Jesus remains present to us until the end of the age, in word and in sacrament. Catholic Radio shares in the ministry of the Church to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. And in his sign, Catholic Radio, has been doing so for over 30 years. Kathleen McCarthy and In His Sign have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring the fire of God's healing love to the world through Catholic radio and the internet. With God's grace, His word goes out, healing hearts and transforming lives. In His Sign, proclaims the culture of life, loud and clear, in a culture of death. The ministry's mission is to evangelize, catechize, and to be a voice for those who have no voice, proclaiming the truth that will set all people free. To our faithful family and friends who stand with us, thank you for being missionaries with us by supporting In His Sign Catholic Radio. Without your monthly support of prayer and financial giving, our mission would not be able to continue. Our mission voice would be silenced. To our new listeners, please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010, or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
My name is Peter Marsico. My agency from the Knights of Columbus is sponsoring this hour. Like the Knights of Columbus, in listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, guests and callers, the love of Christ is being spread to so many people. More than ever, the world needs Catholic radio stations like this. Being a member of the Knights of Columbus, the largest Catholic fraternal organization in the world, Charity is our most important principle. What better way to give so that so many people can hear the word of Christ? To learn more about the Knights of Columbus, visit KOFC.org. That's short for Knights of Columbus. You can also contact me, Peter.Marsico, M-A-R-S-I-C-O, at KOFC.org, or by phone, 609-927-5848. Take care and God bless.
Welcome back to the second half of Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Traynor, along with college football coach, defensive coordinator, national champion, Clayton Carlin. I want to thank Peter Marsico again and the Knights of Columbus for their unwavering support, because without the support of Peter and businessmen like men and women like Peter, this is not possible, because this is a fully funded program, and through the support and generosity of people like Peter and organizations like the Knights of Columbus. So, Clayton, let's talk about, I know I always razz you about, you know, SJP, but let's talk about your experience at St. Joe's Prep. And is your dad a graduate of St. Joe's Prep?
Yes, he is.
Okay. So there was really, that was kind of, you know, I always think that's cool. Like, I think, such a huge influence over him, you know, like the ultimate validation of an experience, right, is for you to offer your own, you know, children the same type of experience. And that's pretty awesome. But talk about St. Joe's and the influence that some of the Jesuits had on you down there and just overall experience in terms of your faith formation.
Sure. I was, again, because of my mom and dad, I was blessed to be able to go to such a great school as St. Joe's Prep. Me and my three brothers went there, and just loved it, and just absolutely loved it. And Jesuit philosophy is be a man for others. And so that was instilled in me through my parents and then through St. Joe's Prep and the Jesuits. And I've always tried to do that throughout my life. It's always being of service to others and being about others. And so I remember that very much for my 4 years there, Joe. And then the friends that I made that are still friends to this day. And my some of my closest friends. And so again, blessed to have been able to be there for those years and just learn, you know, again, my parents did it. And they set the
foundation
and were able to put places and people at St. Joe's Prep to further nurture me.
That's awesome. Anybody in particular stand out all these years later, Clayton, in terms of, you know, with just not necessarily, you know, teaching you religion or theology, but just kind of influencing you as a man and a Catholic?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it goes back to people that have been around me my whole life. And my parents and my friends, my brothers, and my high school football coach, Joe, was a huge influence on me.
That's awesome.
Coach Jack Brankin. And, you know, we get together with him every year, as we talked about. And Father Bruce Bittinger, who passed away.
He was a legend, yeah.
5.5 years ago, who married Kathleen and I and baptized all six of our children, was a huge influence on myself in terms of my walk with my Catholic faith.
That's awesome. You know, being the father of four boys, right? And I said this 2 weeks ago on my show, it's like something that keeps me up at night, honestly, is like, you know, authentic manhood, right? Like you have young kids, you know, you know, in that, what's your youngest son's, what's his age, Clayton?
He's in fifth grade. He's 11.
And then you have a junior in high school?
And then we have
your oldest son. Your old, yeah.
My oldest son is finishing up his junior year. Brady's finishing up his sophomore year. Cole is finishing up seventh grade, and Connor's finishing up fifth.
Awesome. So, you know, authentic manhood, right? The mixed messages that these kids have all the time, right, with social media and even, you know, television and music and, you know, what, you know, you're constantly – we're in a constant battle, you know, with who's, you know, who's influencing our kids when we're not, you know, and – We hope we're doing, you know, we know we're doing the best possible job, but we hope it's enough, right? Just in terms of, you know, hey, this is what authentic manhood looks like. It's not about what you're driving or what your girl, you know, if you have a girlfriend or, you know, what that looks like. It's how you treat people. And, you know, I say to my own kids, hey, there's nothing sexy about real manhood. It's getting, you know, putting your feet on the ground, being a good spouse, being a good, you know, father, being a good friend, being, you know, being a good big brother. And I just, how are you able to kind of sphere your, you know, influence your kids to, you know, to kind of follow, you know, you talked about, you know, your parents benefited from the foundation. They laid the foundation, and then it was like, okay, then it was St. Joe's Prep, and then it was, before you even get there, it was St. Matthias and St. Joe's Prep, and then coaches. Yeah. Like, how do you kind of steer your kids into the direction of what, you know, you particularly your sons, and today, and our daughters have a myriad of challenges too, but I just think sometimes with what we identify as authentic masculinity, you know, in society, you know, doesn't really, you know, add up to it. It's in stark contrast to what, you know, the ultimate servant leader was when he was here on earth, Christ, right? And how are you able to influence your boys in terms of, you know, who they're listening to and what they're listening to?
Yeah, and it's way different than when you and I grew
no,
up.
No, because right? You know what, the other when we were growing up, the village was raising us, right? You know, Jimmy Knowles' dad
goodness.
Was raising you, and Rich Gannon's dad, and father,
yeah.
you know, the priest, and you know, the CYO coaches, and all of it. Now it's like everybody's living in this like vacuum, you know, and you worry about, like, I worry about, like, my kids not having that sphere of you know, being influenced by people that are gonna benefit them for years, you know?
Yeah. Like you said, it takes a village, and you and I were blessed. And growing up in Ballykinwood, I was just surrounded by so many great people, and you certainly didn't have the social media stuff that is rampant today. And so I'm like you, Joe. I lay awake at night and worry about that. And I just, I spend time in prayer every morning.
Mm.
Every morning I have to do that. I pray the rosary, and I certainly pray for my children, and that they can look to me as someone that they can show them the way through the faith and a walk with the Lord and authentic manhood, as you say, and serving and being a servant. And I pray for them that God puts the right people in front of them. To be examples, whether, like you said, it's coaches or teachers, and I hope I'm setting the example.
Amen.
And
you are
to them, and it comes down to Kathleen and I to set the example and show the way. And but I pray every morning that I'm being the best father that I can be, especially to all six of my children, but that my four young men can grow up to be great men and a man for others and walk with the Lord.
Amen. I know you're doing an amazing job with that, and you inspire people like friends of yours like me and Richie and Jimmy Knowles, and I know that for a fact. You touched on the rosary. You know, I think, and I've asked a couple of my guests here, you know, often. I think one of the beauties of Catholicism for me is you have so many different avenues to strengthen your relationship with Christ, right? You have, we have the sacramental mass that is part of our life, you know, weekly, if not daily. But you have so many other aspects. You have adoration, the novenas, confession, stations. What are there any of the intercession of the saints, right? I mean, are there any in particular that you're drawn to, you know, as a devout Catholic?
Yeah, there sure is. And that's the genius of Catholicism, right, Joe, that we have all those avenues. And to me, it's the rosary. And, you know, I my mother instilled in me the values of the Blessed Mother. And even today, Joe, she constantly reminds me that the Blessed Mother has her arms wrapped around me. And that's the last thing she said to me before the national championship, about 5-6 hours before kickoff. And so my mom instilled that in me, and the power of the rosary. So I was inconsistent with it, you know, and for most of my life. And then about 10, 11 years ago, I'm going to try to do this for Lent, and I'm going to get up early and say the rosary every morning and see if I can do this every day for Lent. Well, here we are 10, 11 years later, and I can't start my day off without it. And,
that's awesome, man. Amen.
You know, I just can't imagine not being able to have, you know, as they say, power in my hands of the rosary and saying it every morning. Because if I did happen to miss a day, and thank by the grace of God I haven't in the last 11 years, I'm certain my day would be all out of whack and uncentered, and it would be craziness. So I'm blessed to be able to say the rosary every morning. Of course, that the fact that we're able to go to Mass every day. I went to daily Mass here at St. Anthony of Padua here in the Woodlands, Texas, and then spent some time in the chapel. And then how about the power and the sacrament of reconciliation?
Amen.
You know, how blessed we are to have that. And that's important to me and my family to be able to go into, because we all fall short. We all fall short, and we're all sinners. And to be able to go to confessing and confess your sins and by God's goodness and grace be forgiven is a mighty powerful thing.
Well, plus, and no doubt, and then the sacramental grace that accompanies that act too, right? I mean, it's the gift, you know, the gift of grace, God's grace. Like, you know, what a beautiful image you give of your mother, you know, with the Holy, the Blessed Virgin wrapping herself around you in protection.
Yeah.
Is like a shield. But like the grace that we get by performing those acts of faith, you know,
yeah.
And all the benefit, you know, the countless blessings that we have, like that we're not even aware of, you know, on a daily basis.
Yeah.
But you bring up a great point too. Like, I know, you know, there's never a bad time for prayer, right? You know, we hope, one of the things I'm trying to make a commitment to doing is doing it consistently throughout the day. But what, you know, you make a great point. Like if you don't, you know, that quiet time in the morning, right? Like before, like, you know, the computer gets a hold of you, or the cell phone, or, you know, kids, you know, needing your attention, or life, right? Your job, like the quiet, the stillness of the morning, right? Is there any better way to start your day than in prayer? And 'cause it's really probably the only time of day that you control. You know, you can't, you know, you can lock yourself in your office or your bedroom, but there's no guarantee that there's going to be stillness there. But to start your day out in the morning, I know for me, as I've made an effort to do that really in the last year, and I too, I just said to my men's group a couple weeks ago, I think in the last 3 years, I've said more rosaries as I try to make a decision to do it daily than I did probably in my first, you know, 46, 47 years of my life, you know?
I hear you.
There's a centeredness that I'm able to just get centered when I say that, when I say the rosary. But I know when, you know, even if I don't say it in the morning, I'll get to it either on my lunchtime walk or at some point, but it's a different day when I don't, you know, like when I can start the day out with it, you know, I'm more focused, I'm more relaxed, I'm more patient, I'm more tolerant, you know, and I'm more centered, you know, when I'm always able to, but I'm just, whether it's laziness or apathy or whatever, you know, Matthew Kelly, you know, when he talks about the genius of Catholicism, Coach Moore was one of my mentors and what a huge influence over me. But, you know, he talks about, you know, resistance, right? So even though we need certain things, Matthew Kelly talks about, even though we need certain things in our life, sometimes just with our human flawed sinfulness, we resist even the good things we need. And even those times when I know I need prayer to start my day out with prayer, I'm either lazy or just too resisting, and it affects the rest of my day because I feel like I'm playing catch up for the next 10 hours in the day. But when I can start my day out in prayer, it's a different day. I know that.
No doubt. You talk about the morning, and that is, for me, it's the best time. I'm an early guy, as I say. I go to bed early and get up early, and you know, and it's for all those reasons you just said, Joe, the stillness of it, the quiet time. There's no one knocking on the door. There's no phones beeping or ringing or anything like that. And, so that's as I say, that's my time in the morning. So that 30 to 45 minutes that with the rosary and then rereading different scripture. And again, I can't imagine starting the day any other way.
Amen. You know, when you and I talk, you know, I talk to you, you know, probably once every 7 to 10 days, you know, even if it's just for a couple minutes. But, you know, we talk about the politics of you know, the country and the church and all of it. But, you know, there's no secret. We're a pretty divided church right now. You know, we're very polarized. I don't know if you followed, you know, what's happening out in Wisconsin with Father Altman out in La Crosse. You know, who's you know, a pipe swinging disciple of Christ, and he's been asked to resign. But I'm not, and this show's not political, and I'm not steering in that direction. But you know, you have, you know, on the big ticket items of life and immigration and sexual identification and, or excuse me, gender identification, sexuality, all of it. We just all the five or six lanes of ideology, so to speak. We're a pretty fractured church right now. And just in your own take, do you see us getting unified again under one umbrella, or do you see another, you know, schism in the church happening? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I put it in the hands of God, Joe, and I do trust in the leadership of the Catholic Church, starting, you know, Pope Francis, and I do think we're in great hands. And hey, listen, like you said, we're divided, and we've taken some hits over the years.
Yeah, we have.
There's no question about it. And, you know, but I do think if everyone takes a step back and just sees, as you said, the genius of Catholicism and the millions and millions and millions and millions of lives that it has impacted and will continue to impact. And so we put that in the good Lord's hands, and I do think the best is yet to come. I really do.
That's awesome.
Just a faith.
That's awesome. I'm going to go back to a football question before we close out the hour. So you're coming off a national championship. You're playing usually, you know, from let's say February through end of April in a given, you know, football calendar year, you spend time, you know, you have your 15 spring practices, and then, you know, you have your 3 to 4 days a week, you know, lifting, running, conditioning, preceding spring practice. And then, you know, you're coming off of what was your total number of games you guys played, Clayton?
We played a total of 10.
Yeah. So that's really a full season. Right.
Yeah.
And now here we are, you know, the weekend, you know, before Memorial Day, you know, and then you guys, you know, you probably open up what, end of August, this coming fall.
Yeah, we sure do. Yeah, September 2nd.
Yeah, so now, like, how do you, and not having any frame of reference for any of this stuff, right? Like, you know, it's not like you've had a spring season before, and you can't even go to visit with, you know, buddies at other schools because nobody's had this frame of reference. You know, how do you adjust your traditional summer and preseason camp calendar to make sure that you're not, you know, you want to be peaking in end of October, end of October and beginning of November into December. How do you adjust the schedule with as it relates to the kids and their commitment?
Yeah, like you said, Joe, there's no playbook for this, and that's going to be a great challenge. And what we have done is our kids are at home now, and they're home until June 28th, and we really have told them to rest, recover, you know, recharge. They're going to do some working out on their own. And not just the physical part of it, the mental and emotional part of it, they need to recover too, because it was quite a ride. You know, these four playoff games, Joe, came down, every game came down to the last play. We won all four games by a total of 15 points.
That's awesome.
And so they'll come back June 28th, and we have a tremendous strength coach here who knows exactly what he's doing, and he'll get them June 28th, and we'll be here as coaches too. And he'll ease back into things, and we do a good job of taking care of them. It was, again, different when we were playing way back when, Joey. We don't hit during practice.
Sure.
We take care of them as best we can during the week, and we tell them to save those hits for game day. And I think that's one of the things that helped us this past spring. We were as healthy as we could be heading into that national championship game, due to our great strength coach and the fact that we do no hitting, no live work, no contact. Everything's tagged, and which to the old school coaches would be bizarre.
No doubt, dude. No
you
doubt.
Know, that would be crazy. That's like the craziest thing you could ever say as a football coach. But I'm a big fan of it, and you know, not contact during the week, save it for game day. So I think those things are in our favor as we head into the fall season. And but that's going to be the challenge. Like you said, there's no blueprint for it, but our guys are home, players are awesome, the work ethic is outstanding. We are a player-led team, a player-driven team, a player-coach team. And so I'm confident that, you know, they'll come back, and hopefully we can have a good fall season.
Now give our listeners an idea, like what, like locker room access, cafeteria, like some of that stuff was like this spring for you. I mean, I'm assuming there were places you went where you didn't have locker room access, right?
Yeah. Well, funny you should say that, Joe. Again, it's a testament to our kids here. Our football building is being renovated. So again, we had no football building. Our kids had no locker room. They did their own laundry.
Oh,
they
wow.
Bought their pads to and from where they lived.
It's like the old CYO days, brother.
See them carrying across the street, and they would get dressed in the stands.
How about that?
Because
that's
our
impressive.
Football building is being renovated. Now, it's going to be real nice, but we've been without a locker room since, I think we got kids, like, since September or October. And, you know, our offensive staff is in the press box. Defensive staff, we're about 3 miles off campus over in some bank building. And so
that's awesome.
Yeah, so that there's a daily thing for us in terms of no locker room access and some of the other places that we visited. And even for us, the teams that came to visit us, Joe, we just had a big tent out in the parking lot for them.
No doubt.
So it was, I guess that was a home field advantage for us too. But
that's pretty awesome. But I will say this too.
Ride, and again, a tribute to our players. They never flinched. They never complained. You know, with all the things they had to go through, and right up to through the ice storm, no locker room, doing their own laundry, getting dressed in the stands, and certainly proud to be a very small part of their national championship.
You know what? And it goes to show you, like you'll be in a state of the art Cadillac facility, in when they come back and you start the season. But if you have great players and you have great leadership, you got a shot at great things. You know. So it's
no
just
doubt.
It's pretty awesome. Clayton, this was awesome, brother. I love you, man. Have a great week. I'll give you a shout this week. Folks, thanks for listening. I wish everybody a healthy and happy Memorial Day weekend, and look forward to talking with you guys in two weeks. God bless.